Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. For this episode, we are in Los Angeles speaking with Kelso Norris, who is the beverage director of a lovely little bar here called Jennifer. And Jennifer was recently nominated for a James Beard Award for Best Bar Program in the United States, which is a nice, nice honor to bestow upon this female and Filipino-owned bar here in LA. LA being my town. Very proud of these guys. So let's sit back and talk with Kelso about her time behind the bar and her time fronting a band, which she did a lot of, and especially in those heady, heady mid-2000 years in New York. That was really a great time to be in a band. So let's listen to some stories.
So I always want to, when we do these things, just introduce yourself.
Sure. And
so tell everybody who you are and where you work.
I am Kelso Norris. I am the beverage director at Jennifer in historic Filipino town, little gin joint that opened in 2018, owned by three rockin' Filipinas, mm-hmm. Patricia, Christine, and Roselma. RCP.
Amazing.
Yeah. They are a straight up delight and so supportive and fun and funny and like just
awesome.
Three fierce chicks,
man. I met one of them at a spirits event, I can't remember what, and I forget, we were like on an elevator talking.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, what bar are you from? I go, The Mermaid. She's like, oh, I'm from, you know, Jennifer. Yeah. And we're like, oh my God, we're the women.
Yeah. No, they're just so great. Like, it's really impressive for them, especially because it's like, they all have full-time jobs, mm-hmm. and secondary things,
yeah.
and they're very involved in their families, and they're doing this.
And
like, it's just like, the candle is not just being burned at both ends. It's like,
it's being burned on like five different ends.
Yeah.
It's been
like,
chopped into pieces.
Yeah, it's just bananas.
But you're kind of doing this too, right? Because
I
you're
guess,
also,
yeah.
you have a kid.
But it's different.
Because.
It's different. You know, I don't know. I aspire to like hit that level.
Well,
I probably complain way more than they do. But like, they're just like, whatever, this is what it is. And I just constantly am like crushing it.
Yeah.
Or I'm like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I want to take a nap.
Yeah. Yeah. See, well, we were talking before. I'm like, I can't nap. If I nap, it messes me up. I would love to learn how to nap. But, and it's funny because today I actually was looking at my husband. And I'm like, I want to do something. I'm bored. And he's like, you're never bored. I'm like, well, it's not that I'm not bored. I just do always have a lot of things to do. So
it's hard. I mean,
Agreed. 100%. Because there's that thing, there's like that splash of anxiety that is always, you're like, if you let your brain be like, well, what else could I be doing right now? Mm-hmm. And I struggle with this immensely, and I always have. And it's like in every aspect where you're just like, oh, I am trying to unwind and go to sleep, but my brain is like, well, what about these cocktail names? What if this is the theme you go with? What if you do this? What if I mix this with this? What if I do? It's just the constant what if, what if, what if. And that's like, that's been my thing my whole life.
Your brain
doesn't
like to shut down.
But it's also soothing. It's oddly soothing for me. Huh. So there is a part of it that like definitely hypes me up where my brain is like, chicka, 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 chicka. Yeah. But then at the same time, I find it very comforting. And then eventually I will get to a point where I'm like, okay, and
sleep. Yeah.
It's probably not the healthiest thing, but I'm 38 and that's the way it's been. Yeah. So I'm like...
Well, so you were talking about what cocktail is that, but you're also a musician.
Yeah.
So I would think that if it's not a cocktail thing, you probably have had periods of time where there's music, just scrolling through your brain.
Every morning I wake up, there's a song in my head. Yeah. And a lot of times it's not even for a reason. But that happens the same thing too, where like I would be falling asleep and I'm thinking of a lyric and like, how do I make this work? Or like, what key change would make this happen? Or how do I get to this bridge? And like, that's just the way my brain, I think that's just the way my brain,
your brain
like,
Your brain is just creating.
It's very hard to shut it off though.
When did you start making music? Like, when did you pick up an instrument?
So
Or were you just singing in the bathroom?
I grew up in a family of, like, musicians. My dad and my mom were both musicians.
Oh, wow.
They're both singers. My dad's a music teacher.
Oh, my God. So you had no choice.
Yeah, I mean, I was always around it and always exposed to, like, such a broad variety of music. And my parents split up when I was 18 months old, and my dad had custody of me. And he was finishing college and finishing his master's. My mom was a musician and she was touring. And she was a jazz singer. And so it was kind of like the opposite situation where it's like we lived in this tiny town in Iowa and then in Illinois. And everyone was like, where's your mom?
And you're like, she's on the road.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and then... My dad was my music teacher, so, you know, it was always, like, I mean, of course, there wasn't, I never felt forced to be musical, because it was just kind of...
It was just in your house.
It was just the currency we worked with.
Yeah, it was born with the skill set.
It was the language that we spoke in, you know, so it's, like, it's not as if it was ever something that I felt, like, pressured to do, even though I definitely went through, like, horrible piano teacher phases and stuff like that, but... It was always there. It was a constant. And then I kind of went in and out and in and out of music. It was always there. And then was really into musical theater in high school, went to a performing arts high school. And then after school, I was like, oh, I want to go to New York. It was a kind of a toss up. I was like, I love Chicago. I could go to Chicago. I had spent a lot of time in Chicago. Do I want to go to California? Not really. And I was like, it's New York. It's New York or nothing. And I went to New York. I was 22. And I loved it. Like, it was perfect. It was like the only time in my life where I was like, I like got off the plane, landed, met up with this woman that I found on Craigslist, rented it in a bedroom from her. And then got a job the next day. And it was like,
In
the right place at the right time, and everything is telling me.
Yeah, this was like, what, early 2000s or something?
2005. Yeah. So it was like...
So, yeah, it wasn't... It hadn't quite crested again.
No. It was like the best of both worlds. Like, I feel like us early 80s children, or it's like, you've got that, like... analog childhood and then into the digital. We're like right in between.
Both.
Yeah. We're like in between that like Gen X millennial vibe. So it's, but it was crazy to be like, okay.
And the bands that were coming out of New York at that time.
Dude.
It was like, I mean, there's always good bands coming out of New York, but that was a big wave of it.
Very exciting time. I was a huge Interpol fan.
I was going to say that was Interpol.
Fan.
That was
I mean, it was just like.
LCD Sound System.
Yeah. Which I didn't really get into LCD Sound System. But I loved the Strokes. I loved Interpol. I love Yes. And so...
Like TV on the Radio, I think. Also
TV on the Radio. Like, it was just... you there never knew where you were going to see stuff. And, like, people were doing, like, random pop-up shows everywhere. Or, like, friends in other bands were like, oh, you know,
they're going to be a cake shop tonight. Or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just, like, it was very good. It was a very good time. But New York is kind of like that, where any decade you could be like, you know, like even 10 years after that, you'd be like, oh, Grizzly Bear's playing like right here. You know, it's like just like, it was just a very fun time. But then I also, what's funny about it now is I look back on that and I'm like, what a great time to be there. But when I was there, all I was thinking about was how I missed out on, like, the Velvet Underground and, like, and like seeing, like, Jazz Greats and, like, the Village and stuff like that. Like, just stuff.
And you're like, nobody cool lives at the Chelsea Hotel now.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's so funny how you're just, like, short-sighted where you're like, man, I'm here in the wrong decade. And it's like, no,
did you ever see Midnight in Paris?
Yes.
There's the whole, like, you know, dreaming of being there, and he gets to the area he wants, or the era he wants to live in, and meet someone who wants to be in the previous era.
Of course,
always the thing.
It's just, it's the grass is always greener.
So you wound up playing music when you got to New York, like with a band, right?
So I had, like, kind of toyed around with bands in high school and stuff, and then when I was working at this restaurant, I had played guitar previously and was at it. But passable. And then I worked with this other guy, and he was a very good guitarist and had a friend who was an insane drummer who, he was Charles Bradley's drummer before he passed and stuff.
Oh, my God.
So, like, the three of us started
in the band. Insane drummer.
Yeah, he's such a good drummer. Great, like, classic jazz drummer. His name's Christopher. He lives out here, actually. Excuse me. But yeah, so we started a band together called The Missing Pieces, and, like, it was basically just we were high all the time and drunk, and just, like, we had so much fun. It was, like, very dirty, gritty 70s rock and roll kind of vibe.
Nice.
Very, like, PJ Harvey influenced. But it was just, you know, it was a ton of fun, and I mean, you know, we played some fun shows. We played at Lit Lounge a lot, which was, you know, debaucherous, and... But yeah, so that was my early 20s when I first got there, and then he went to go on tour and, like, was doing more sound stuff, so we broke up, and then I started another band with these guys at NYU called Ashen Figure, and that was, like, a kind of jazz acid rock situation. And it was, like, very... All of the lyrics were written by this poet, and it was very, like, pretentious. Fun, but pretentious.
It sounds arty.
it was big-time art rock. And it was fun, but pretentious. And then we kind of... Because they had already been a band, and then I joined the band, replacing a previous singer. And so there wasn't... I didn't have, like, my own identity in there. I was really just kind of, like, filling in.
A part of, yeah.
And that was the way it was for, like, a year or so, and then we kind of found our groove together as a new band, and then started writing stuff together, and things changed. And then we did a tour. We did a tour in Italy, so the guitarist was from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And the drummer was from Wisconsin. And then Evan, the bass player, was from upstate, and then I'm from all over. And so we did this Italy tour. We were there for, like, almost a month.
Oh, and that sounds amazing.
It was, Matteo's from Italy and from Abruzzo. And so we were, like, in Puglia, and we were in Rome, and we were in Abruzzo, and it was just insane. It was the greatest.
Awesome.
And that was kind of at a point where the music was changing, too, for us, where we were kind of leaning more towards, like, synth-heavy stuff and very influenced by, like, The Cure and, like, Depeche Mode and that kind of stuff, which speaks to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so fun. because at the same time, I was also, like, working in fine dining and bartending.
Mm-hmm.
And while I enjoy that deeply, I was like, but I want to do this. Like, this is fun.
Yeah.
And when else can I do this in my life?
Yeah.
You have to do those things that pop up. And I remember being like, shit, like, I might lose my job if I do this. And then I'm like, I think I was just finally at a point where I was like, you realize it's like, if I don't do this, I will regret it more than, like, I can find another job.
Oh my God, you are so right.
Because it's like, there's that, you know, like, the, especially in the early aughts in the hospitality industry, there was so much toxicity around that, like, vibe of, like, there's 100 people waiting to take your, like,
your place.
Like, you trip, you
fall. Well, and you were in New York, and that whole bartender, the cocktail renaissance was in full swing at that time. So there were people going there just like, you know.
And it's hard.
You want to go be a rock star? You want to be big on Broadway? You want to go be one of those bartenders?
There is that, like, double-edged sword. And it is a little bit of, like, Stockholm syndrome because you're like, because I definitely bought into it for the longest time where I was like, well, I can't go on tour or I can't do that. Like, you know, like, I don't want to lose my job. And it's like, it's just a job.
You can get another when you come back.
You can get another job when you come back. And I know plenty of people who do that. But I think the way I was wired and raised that I was like, you don't bite the hand that feeds you, but it's like, it's not biting the hand. But it took me long. I wish I had gotten to the point where I felt comfortable stepping away and coming back. But I do definitely think there's changes in that now. But yeah, so I left the job I was working at. I was working at Kraft, Tom Colicchio's spot on 19th Street, which I loved. And they were like, I was like, I'm going to be gone for like 2 months. And they were like, okay, cool. That's fine.
Yeah, because there are so many bartenders who pick it up because they're actors or they're musicians or they're whatever. And they're like, they need to know that they can leave.
Yeah.
But have a trade.
It's wild, though, because they're,
But if they were like, you can come back here, that's amazing.
I'd never worked anywhere that was like, you know, okay, we'll see you when you get back. Because I basically was gone for 3 weeks, came back for a week, and then I was gone for 2 more weeks. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, just come back for that week, and then, you know, we'll see, and then we can reassess. And because I also had worked there at that point like 2 years and hadn't taken any vacation time too, so. But it was still like, I remember being so terrified to ask for, you know, which is,
you're like probably the first person I've ever talked to in the like 4 years I've been doing this interview where they've been like, I felt so bad asking to leave, because most people are like, and then I went on tour and then I did this and just don't give it a second thought. So that's very kind. It's very sweet. Your parents brought you up with a certain set of, you
know. It's guilt, baby. It's guilt. It's not a good thing.
In
2013.
Oh, so you were in New York then?
Yeah.
And so you started like...
Maybe 2000... Actually, no, earlier.
So you've been doing the music thing for a while already.
2011. Yeah, yeah.
So and what set you into bartending?
So I was working front of the house. I was... did like every single position you could be in a restaurant. And then I mean, I had bartended before because I was always, my parents are very social drinkers. Uh-huh. And so I was always like, make me a martini.
I was going to say, were you one of those?
Yeah, I was one of those. And I started bartending like private events at the restaurants I was working at, and then just was like, hey, I'm interested in this. I want to learn more. And everywhere I worked always had a really good educational program. So it was like, oh, we can talk, you know, learn about wine, learn about beer, learn about cocktails. And then when I was working at Kraft, Sean McClure was the head bartender, and he kind of took me under his wing and taught me a bunch of stuff. And then we did, like, these pop-up secret bars in the private dining room. And then I started working at Rain's Law Room in New York. Megan Dorman was, like, my fountain of wisdom and is still my fountain of wisdom.
I love that space. I remember when that place first opened up.
It's so
beautiful.
Yeah. So great. It's like 14 years now, which isn't that
crazy? I know. It's crazy. Yeah. It's yeah.
So great. And they, when I was just in New York this fall, I met her there for drinks. We had a couple nights out
at the OG
town.
Or the one
with
that's
the OG
in the,
town. So we met on 17th, and they've expanded now, and it's so they took over the basement next door from the hotel and like did a huge renovation.
Wow.
So there's like a little side alley room area too.
That's cool.
Yeah, but still the same. Still people having sex on the wallpaper. Yep. And still the old bell system for when you need something. Everything else is. You know,
that's great. That's a special little place. It didn't come across to me. I remember like in mid-2000s, that was prime PDT era, right?
Yes.
It's like, oh, we're all going to Criff Dogs. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
You know, and
it was
go
all
over
like
there.
Milk and Honey and PDT.
Yeah. But they were fantastic. They were great and everything. But I remember going to Rain's and feeling like, even though we had to, you know, kind of set up going there, mm-hmm. once I got there, I'm like, this feels so easygoing.
Oh, yeah. It was. Time disappears there.
Yeah.
Like, it's just it's, like, kind of magical where even working there was like that, too. But, like, especially if you go there as a guest, like, you sit down and it's, like, 3 hours go by like that.
Absolutely.
It's incredible.
It just felt so cozy and comfortable and low-key. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like we had, you know, made arrangements, saying, to go in there and do anything. It didn't feel pretentious. It didn't feel snooty, nothing. Not like the other places did, but some places definitely you went in and you were going to have an experience.
I think the difference about that space, I think what's so magical about that space is like the bar area is so small. Mm-hmm. So it's like you can't really have very many people back by the bar. And then if you're at a table or a chair, like any kind of the seating configuration,
mm-hmm.
like you're in your own little nook. Mm-hmm. And it's dark and everything's really
tucked
comfy.
Away.
And it's like, and then no one bothers you because you have the switch that you hit if you need anything. And it's like,
I mean, really
the conversations that I overheard, I can't even begin to tell you because people would sit down and immediately they're like, I'm in my own bubble.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, no, babe, you're not. But thank you.
Keep in mind, the staff hears everything.
Yeah. We're still listening. Yeah.
So then you were there, too.
Yeah.
And so you actually started and were working at some really wonderful places. Like
I was working. So when I first moved to the city, I worked at Cafe Fiorello, which is right across the street from Lincoln Center. Mm-hmm. And this was before Daniel Ballou took over that corner and, like, it became a huge thing.
Yeah.
There was, like, nothing there before the Empire Hotel reopened and all that jazz. There was nothing on that corner, and it was just glorious because you're getting paid straight cash, and just like the skies were open and money was raining down, and I was not smart about keeping money.
It's okay. You're young.
Yeah, you know?
Fine. You're young, rock and roll.
You're like, oh, you know what? This is how stupid, and I think back, and now I like think about how I need to tell my daughter to be responsible because I remember being like, okay, I had no bills, and... because I didn't have a cell phone.
Yeah.
Because this was, like, before, like,
so edge of that.
It was just on the edge. I had a what the kids call a burner phone now.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, I don't need to pay. Like, I literally was just needed it to call my parents.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if I made plans with people, we all, like, knew we were going to meet up or whatever.
Yeah.
I was still of that, like, generation of, like, we said we're meeting at 7:30 or 8 or whatever. Like,
mm-hmm.
cool. And also, I have MapQuest I'd look on. I'd print out directions if there was ever something I didn't know where I was going. I'm like, I've got my map right here. I'm good to go. I can't even imagine. And so, but it was like, okay, so really my overhead was my rent was $7.25.
So it was like rent and like utilities.
I didn't have to pay utilities. It was all built into it.
So it was
$7.25.
Yeah.
So I would work like a double on a Saturday or Sunday.
And there's rent.
And then I'd be like, okay, here's my money. I'm setting this aside. And then what did I spend the rest of the money on?
Going out. That's what you're supposed to do in your 20s.
Like,
you're in New York.
I didn't save anything. Yeah, it was bad.
No, I'm not going to be mad at you for that.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, in hindsight.
Because you were out there having a great time, making friends.
It was a good time.
And I'm a firm believer in experiences, not things.
Yeah.
So
it was definitely experiences. But I will say, there are other experiences I wish I had done there. Because, like, I didn't actually travel to Europe and stuff until, like, 2010.
Yeah.
And it's like, I was right there. Like, I could have,
yeah.
I should have, I wish that I had been like, oh, I want to save money to do this
and
or whatever.
Jump over. Yeah.
But,
I think it's okay.
Yeah. But it's fine. I got there eventually. I got there eventually. And,
so you're doing all this bartending stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're just like secretly or quietly becoming really good at it, apparently.
Yeah.
You're learning your stuff. And
I was very lucky to, like, be surrounded by people that were, one, very patient, two, enjoyed like talking to somebody that was wanting to geek out about it. And then three, just like my whole experience in New York was I was always in the right place at the right time.
That's awesome. That's
fantastic. Not been my experience in LA whatsoever.
See, because that's been my experience in LA, and I understand how that goes.
No.
It's like you show up somewhere and it's like things just get handed to you and you're just like, I think this means something. I'm going to run with it. So when you were bartending and you were meeting these people, what are some early experiences you remember? I mean, there had to have been some formative moments of like, you know what? I think I like this. I think I can keep doing this and really enjoy
it. Well, I think what kind of something that I didn't realize about cocktails was that it was kind of the perfect intersection of things that I enjoyed, which was like creating a space. So whether that was like a design situation or a sonic situation, it was all like pulling it together. So you had that aspect, which is a very creative aspect of like, how do I create a space that is like welcoming and inviting? And that means like, how does it look? How does it smell? Like, what's the lighting like? What's the sound like? And then it's like, what's music's playing? Like, what else is going on? Like, what kind of, what do I want people to feel as soon as they walk in? And like, how do I want people to like...
See, and you would be extra cognizant of the music side of it. Because not everybody
And then further it was, what's the history of this? Like, where did this come from? Who was making this spirit before? Like, where did... Then I'm a... Like, I love learning about the history of things and... So it was just kind of like, I wish I had realized it earlier that I was like, oh, I'm interested in all these things. And this is a world where all of these things come together and I can just like drown in this knowledge. So that's really like been my takeaway from it. And then, like I said, I think I've just been lucky to be surrounded by people that saw my enthusiasm and were like, let me share with you. I worked with some really insanely talented people at Rains. And then I was at Sweet Chick for a while and helped open out here too. Same kind of thing where there were people that I worked with at Rains that went over there. And
What brought you to California? How did you wind up out here?
The cars.
I know, I was going to say, so perfectly timed as soon as I say California, some muscle car drives
So, my husband is a comedian / actor, he was actually working a lot out here before he moved out here, and we had a lot of friends out here, and it was like, oh, come out to California.
Let's give it a try.
Do it, like, things, everything's happening, blah, blah, blah. And then we got out here, and it was like,
a little different. A little different in New York.
And then it was pretty shortly thereafter that like everything kind of was like pull the plug on it. But you know, it would have happened in New York too. But I will say, like, we've been here going on, it'll be 5 years in April, and I just now feel like, okay, we live here. It took me a very long time.
Well, also there's a big chunk of time in there we were all locked away. You know, so you're kind of like,
We also dealt with the weird thing of like, so Geneva opened in 2018. I had Nora in September, and then she and I got hit by a car in November. She was seven weeks old. We were crossing the street in front of our place in Los Feliz, and this guy, we were in the intersection, and this guy made a left turn and hit us. She was okay. I like, because I had her strapped to my chest, and so I basically made like a cocoon with my arms, but I like shattered my leg. And, I was stand for 4 months on the leg, and then I had to have surgery. So I was out of work for almost a year. Then I started working again, was working for 6 months, and then COVID happened.
And then COVID hit.
So it was a hard thing for me to be like, I am not in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
It was definitely like an opposite situation. And a lot of shaking fists at the sky.
But you're back at Geneva now.
And
running that bar there. So,
yeah.
And that, I'm trying to think, I mean, well, Geneva is a specific spirit.
Yeah.
But the place, I've been there and there are drinks other than that there. So
yeah, totally.
What is your ethos of running that bar, of running the drink program at that bar?
So when we first opened, my ethos was, I absolutely welcome whatever you want to drink, but I wanted to highlight gin, like, excessively. So on the opening menu, it was cocktails of each different styles of gin that highlighted different styles.
And was that because of the place itself? Or
it was just...
Had you just become such a fan of gin at that point? We're like,
I mean,
let's pull it together.
I was trying to... I think I wanted to find a way to show people how broad the category of gin is.
And it is. Oh, my God.
Which,
so
I'm
much.
Like, listen, if you can learn to differentiate between all the different types of agave and mezcals, we
yep.
can do this with gin, too.
And, we're the rum people. I have this conversation all the time. Rum
exactly.
is an insane category.
Yeah.
Gin is an insane category. By comparison, the agaves are not that insane.
Yeah.
Because there's only so much kind of agave.
Yeah. But it became like, oh, well, this, and it was also for my own edification, too, because I was like, oh, well, this is working this way, and this is working that way, and oh, how can I highlight these notes that are in this gin? It's just a challenge, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I will say, like, there was a lot of, like, well, I don't like gin.
I was someone that needed to be walked through gin. Yeah, definitely.
Which is fine. And I mean, I will fully admit that I have been guilty of serving people gin when they ordered vodka. And I have never, ever had somebody say, this is gin.
See,
but 9 times out of 10, they say, that's the best cocktail I've ever had.
There you go. See, yeah. I was someone who just was uneducated on gin and had had gin drinks that gave me a headache.
Of course.
And I remember telling someone, I'm like, that always gives me a headache. And they're like, you just haven't had the right gin.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, I don't know if I can figure out what the right gin is. And basically it just boiled down to, you need to have good gin.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is that, like, most people's first interaction with gin is going to be some dusty-ass bottle of Bombay Sapphire that their parents have had for, like, 30 years. And which, case in point, in my parents' case, my dad was like, I was there, when was this, like, 10 years ago or mm-hmm. something? And he had this bottle out, and he's like, oh, we should open this. And I'm like, because it was all water at that point.
They didn't drink it.
They had it for, like, my mom. My mom like, has clients over. And
how
so,
many parents
yeah.
have had
and
that
I was
experience?
Like, he's like, it kind of smells like gin still, but it's. He's like, it must have gone bad. And I was just like...
Sure, Dad. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
I mean, totally to be fair, it was like at that point, like 25 years old. So, yeah, it probably would have been very flat. But, yeah.
That's hilarious.
But, yeah, it's, yeah.
That's too good. Have you ever had the opportunity to name drinks after songs or artists?
Oh, yeah. Our last
Since
menu.
You are so musical.
Oh, yeah. So, our last cocktail menu was very 90s influence. So it was everything from the Happy Happy Joy Joy from Ren and Stimpy to Earth Crosser, which is a little known Veruca Salt song about going on tour that I love so much from the album Aim at Arms to Hold You. New Career in a New Town from, well, originally David Bowie from the 70s, but I specifically was pulling from the Art Decade re-released in 99. What else? Summer Babe Winter Version by Pavement, which is a white Negroni variation.
Nice. Nice.
Starmy Kitten, which nobody really got, which I was shocked by. Classic REM song. It's a gin and tonic with a great base gin and star anise, like a spiced red wine cordial. I love it so much. But
nice.
But everyone is like, what is Starmy Kitten? And I'm like, how do you not know this song?
Because not everyone's a nerd. That's basically it.
Yeah.
Well, okay, and so you also, this is totally jumping to the other side. You sent me a couple links to music that you were making.
Yes.
And I don't think we got there in your music stories. I listened to that, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is beautiful. It was... But you were saying you were starting to lean towards the synth pop
stuff.
Yeah,
that was... And so I'm that like, was Ashen Figure turned into Unalux, which
Unalux,
was
okay.
definitely more of a, like... synth heavy.
I was trying to explain my husband. I'm like, okay, if Portishead was poppier, maybe it's Ladytron, but not quite there because it's a little gloomier than that. I'm like, somewhere in there. And I love, because I love good indie electronica is basically what my brain always goes with it.
It's,
I'm like, it's very synth poppy. It's really good.
Yeah. It's wild because, like, I definitely have super gothic tendencies. Like, my favorite like station or playlist that I created is like a Cocteau Twins, like just like real, just like My Bloody Valentine. It's just everything, like shoegazy, all that jazz. Or one of my good friends is always like, this music is making me really sad.
You're like, oh, but it makes me like, so happy. How?
You're like, but it's beautiful.
I was like, do you not feel like you're like floating on a cloud sonic cloud? Or something? Okay, sure.
Jesus, it's not like I'm making you listen to Everybody Hurts on repeat, but yeah.
So yeah, so you got to that, and so are you making music anymore?
No.
No?
Yeah,
and it's wild. You're just busy and kid.
No, it's not.
Things,
I honestly, like, when I moved here, because the band had broken up at that point, and yeah. I was like, we just kind of, it's hard, you know, for, well, yeah. At that point, there was five of us, and Taja, the other vocalist, who actually records now under the name Lorraine, and she's phenomenal. She actually had shows booked here this month that had to be rescheduled because of freaking COVID. But she'll be out here soon, and I can't wait to see her. She's so talented. But yeah, her and then Mateo, Jake, and Evan and I think we just like hit a point where like there was too much personal stuff, and honestly at that point we've been together for like seven years and so I moved here and I was like, oh, I'll find something, and I didn't, and then didn't some more, and then everything happened, and
yeah, so the world locked down,
yeah,
car accident, the world gets down,
And somewhere in there, my husband got cancer, too. So he was out. He had testicular cancer right after our daughter was born.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So
we're all like, okay, let's get through this stuff.
Yeah.
And then we'll start thinking about the crazy movie side again.
And then, I don't know. It's hard because, like, I also don't have... I used to have this drive to create music before, and now it's kind of... fits and starts. Like, every now and then I'll be like lately, as of late, I've been like, I have ideas. I have things ruminating. I have things stewing. I want to do something about it, but I don't know what I want to do. Because I will say, like, running the bar and, like, coming up with cocktails and names and themes and all that stuff does satisfy my creative side enough.
Yeah.
But I am also kind of at that same crossroads where I'm like, well, I regret it if I don't do it.
It'll come back.
Yeah.
It'll come back. When it's time, it'll come back.
I'm kind of feeling like it might be time.
So. You've had music in your life your whole
it's
life.
It's always going to be there.
So I think when it needs to rear its head, it will let you know. Yeah. That's what I've learned from my musician friends. I can't play, but my musician friends, whenever they take a break or something pulls them back, it just pulls them back in. Yeah. Like, at some point, there they are doing it again.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's awesome. I look forward to seeing you back on stage at some point. But for now, I can find you at Jennifer. So yes. I don't know if you want to like let people know. I figure we could wrap it up and you can tell people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Instagram stuff, the socials, if you want to tell people
that. Yeah, sure.
If they want to listen to any of your music,
Where
to find that.
Unalux is on Spotify and all that stuff. UNALUX. My Instagram is Kelso Jean, KelsoJean.
There you go.
Geneva_LA.
Geneva's open, what? Is it Thursday,
Tuesdays.
Friday?
Tuesdays. We're now open Tuesdays through Saturday.
Yay! Yeah. Awesome.
So I'm there by myself Tuesday, Wednesdays, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We've got a full team going.
Sweet!
From 6 to midnight, and on Friday, Saturday, and 6 to 11, Tuesday through Thursday.
It's a beautiful space with delicious cocktails.
It is a beautiful space.
It really is.
It's
I love that.
It's a cozy little spot.
It is. It's a great little spot.
I one of the things I've been toying around with is doing a burlesque / jazzy night.
Ooh.
Because I have always wanted to do a 1940s style cabaret
in
situation.
That space.
In that space.
Yeah. It would be beautiful.
So if anyone wants to help me make that happen.
Yeah.
Putting that out into the universe.
We'll
manifesting it.
We'll get you. It'll get back in there. So excellent. Well, thank you so much. I so
thank
appreciate
you.
Coming and doing this. I can't wait to come down and have a drink again.
Please do.
Awesome.
Please do.
Oh, I'm going to.
You may not have been able to tell, but Kelso was especially sexy when we talked because she had just gotten over COVID. like tested clear the day before or something. So thank you again, Kelso, for coming down and sitting with me and having that conversation. Happy to report the whole family is in the clear, which is always wonderful. So follow her on Instagram. She's at Kelso Jean, G-E-A-N-N. And you absolutely should be following Jennifer. If you come to Los Angeles, you'll want to visit GENEVER_LA. Congratulations to Kelso and Team Jennifer for that James Beard nomination. Now, I have a special surprise for you. We're going to hear Una Lux, her band, her previous band anyway, Una Lux with the song Simon.
Simon ran outside one evening. He couldn't feel his feet. He was rushing to tell you that God had dried up the seas. He'd been running for hours, trying to lose his thoughts under the sands of the beach. He said the heavens have opened and hell is bubbling beneath. Into the street, out of my window, below the building steep. Simon massaged his feet. He said the pavements had parted, revealing worlds underneath. He said, do you believe the souls of your loved ones live in the air that you breathe? Sweat right through the sheets and opened my eyes to see him climbing out of bed. I pretended to sleep and listened to Simon move quietly on his feet.
Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com. and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search She Be Mo on Spotify, S-H-E-B-M-O. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.